FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who
All right. Show once again, it is time for another TFYLP episode number 213, recorded August 19th, 2016. I am your host, Dron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Headmaster Don.
Hey, buddy.
Joining us is newbie Jack Brunner.
Hey, everybody.
What's going on? Still in high school. He's part of our target demographic here, people.
So what year were you born?
I thought he came on to balance out my oldest.
Yeah, you put two Jacks together and you get a Don. Now how old do you feel, Don?
Moving on.
Hey, I'm right there with you, so I can talk. Also with us is Rick Alvarez.
I prefer if you introduce me at the head of the show instead of fourth. After the newbie, of all people.
Oh, you could be bringing up the ass. I mean, you know, I'm just going left to right, you know, so you are in the middle.
That's what she said.
You are a sandwich. You're a podcast sandwich.
Waiter, check please.
and our resident Georgia lover.
Georgia lover is G2. And guess what? I have Crystal Pepsi that I have yet to drink. I haven't had this.
All right, let's
get
some
introduction right now.
Let's get through.
I have not drank any of this,
Jason,
since it came out years ago.
Jason. Let's get through the introductions and we'll do the Crystal Pepsi together.
Do the Crystal Meth together.
It's
weird.
The weeks I've been watching TFYLP, it seems like it was the utmost thing, like professional thing that I get on here. It's like,
no.
In the immortal words of Darth Helmet, fooled you.
Yes.
Seriously. Hangyet Chan joining us from Down Under. Good night, Mike.
I'm in the future again with the only Australian Autobot to exist.
And he has his camera right side up.
All right, so before we get into tonight's topic, before we go any further, for those of us who were born in the last century, new guy, this is a bottle of Crystal Pepsi. I remember Crystal Pepsi being the most delicious of all the Pepsis. And now here we are 20 some years later and Crystal Pepsi's come out again. So Jason, allow me to pour this and we together shall enjoy our first sip of Crystal Pepsi in 20 years. All right. Frothy.
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 It's frothy.
Wait, you gotta shake it. You know, you gotta smell it.
I certainly am glad Coke isn't one of our sponsors.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. That's actually more refreshing than I remember it being.
It definitely tastes different. It's got a different flavor than what I remember.
How is it not harsher? Drinking Pepsi. But... Seriously, Pepsi is a terrible drink.
There you go.
I know, that's why I prefer Coca-Cola. But I had to at least try this because
I mean it's no RC, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Jason, do you remember Pepsi Blue?
Yes.
Oh God.
You know that the formula for that is identical to Crystal Pepsi, except for they added coloring to it.
And Pepsi Spice was the same thing.
Wait, Pepsi what now?
Pepsi Spice. They came out Christmas a couple of years ago here.
No, Pepsi Spice actually had some other flavoring in it too.
Well, it did, but I'm saying the base soda was the same as Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah. I think it killed Rick because
he's like, sorry, he's got this barf bag. Next to him, he's going.
Okay, so we argue.
I'm trying to get a jump on my taxes. So oh. Sorry, guys.
Taxes. Let's not doodle April.
Yeah, Jack. Taxes. That's what grown-ups have to pay.
Jack, don't listen to them. You just rock on.
See, Headmaster Don is the brunt of the old jokes, and Jack is now going to be the brunt of the newbie jokes.
Oh, well, you know, you got to have both ends of the spectrum, so that way we can all fit in between somewhere.
But when Sergio's on, Sergio will be the brunt of the.
Wait! No, Sergio is actually older than Jack.
I know, but he's still younger than most of us.
No, yeah, that's true.
Well, all we need is like one more person, and we've got like the Green Lantern emotional spectrum here. All we need is like, you know, rings and a lantern.
What we need on here in honor of Jack is Herbert from Family Guy.
Oh,
want some popsicles?
Where's my pencil?
What we actually have here is a Suicide Squad, if you haven't noticed.
What, Jack's, which one?
Not it.
Well, tonight
who are you not, Don? This is my question. Who are you not, Don?
But tonight we got a little bit of a mishmash topics. We did have a special guest lined up for this evening, who was Miss Abby Cluster, the daughter of Chris Latta, the voice of the iconic G1 Starscream. Unfortunately, she couldn't make it here with us tonight due to a family emergency. So we kind of had to scramble to get this episode together. We hope that you enjoy this episode. And we
also hope everything works out okay with
that. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And we also want to send out our best wishes to our colleague and our good friend, Chad Williams. He's currently fallen very ill and has been in the hospital the last couple days. Don't want to say much more than that, but we just want to send our best wishes to our friend and colleague, Chad Williams.
Come on, Chad, get better, man. Come on back. We need you. Absolutely. You and I are the only sane people in this bunch.
Yeah. And also, Mr. Wally Burr has been in the hospital the last few days. What was wrong with him?
Believe he had a stroke.
Oh yes.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was a stroke, wasn't it? I think that's what I read anyway.
Yeah, and for those of you who are not familiar, and say who's Wally Burr, he was the voice director for the Generation 1 cartoon, both the live action movie and the series.
Yeah, that name sounds familiar.
Not the live action movie.
Yeah, not the live action movie, which is our basis for our topics our topic tonight, live action movie toys and oversized knockoffs, specifically the Wei Zhang oversized knockoffs that have been popping up lately. A lot of great stuff there, actually. Pretty decent quality for knockoffs. I've got their Toy World Gold Bug here. Forget what his name was.
Shinebug,
yes. And as you can see here, not floppy at all. Very, very good. Good joints on it. Very well made for a KO. Plastic is not filled cheap. Although with this particular one, I suspect gold plastic syndrome is in his future. But
is the plastic look similar to the Generations Gold Bug we got a little while
back? No, I see definite swirls in this. I don't know if you can see on the video here. There's some swirls in the
mine. Do we have to explain to young Squire Jack here what GPS is?
Squire Jack.
I knew you were going to say something like that.
Now Jack has a username, Squire Jack.
Jack, pop quiz, what's GPS?
Gold plastic syndrome.
No.
Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner.
I was a little worried about I was going to reach through the internet and slap you. I was a little worried.
He's got it. We're also going to talk about our favorite and least favorite of the live action movie toys from the original live action movie in 2007 all the way through Age of Extinction. Of course, Transformers 5 is coming out, I guess, next year.
Yeah.
And so I suppose we'll start seeing the movie toys around probably early spring, I guess, is whenever they'll probably start hitting. Going off of Age of Extinction, I don't really have high expectations out of that movie line. Revenge of the Fallen had some gems in it. So who knows? They may turn things around. Go ahead, Don.
I say the one thing I'm hoping for on the movie line, and we talked about this before, is that their focus is a lot tighter, and also the fact that they look at the packaging. A uniform trade dress is one thing, but nearly identical across the board, in which you're having to dig pegs because people are not able to differentiate between fast action battlers and the regular deluxes.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of makes it difficult. Plus, also those, parents and grandparents who are buying it at Christmas or whatever the case may be, and also the fact that I don't want to see as much fluff. The sparking dinosaurs that spark inside, having younger skew toys is a must. I understand that, but a lot of the peripheral crap I would like to see cut out in a more streamlined line.
Mm-hmm. So that being said, I guess we should start with our – well, actually, Rick, you worked on which movie line?
I came on board Hasbro 2008-2009.
So you worked on Dark of the Moon.
I was there for the end part of Revenge of the Fallen, Dark of the Moon, and the beginning of Age of Extinction.
So, what was the general consensus at Hasbro about it? Was it the main focus, or was it like the Generations line? Was it kind of like treated differently, or?
You got to remember there was a couple different factors at the time. The Hub was a new initiative, so balancing what they were going to do with Transformer Prime product versus Generations versus film. So let's focus on Dark of the Moon, for example. So Prime product got pushed back a year, which is why figures didn't really start showing up until around season two. Generations became a much smaller segment, and all the focus was put into movie toys at the time. Now, when Age of Extinction came around, they had seen that over the last three films, movie toy sales had declined. Movie 2 did not sell as much as Movie 1. Movie 3 did not sell as much as Movie 2. So that's why you have a much smaller segment of Age of Extinction toys as opposed to the first three films. And why you have a wider assortment of Generations figures.
So was there ever any, was the Generations line ever in danger of being just cut entirely, or?
Never. No, not, we never had any of those conversations while I was there. It was always, let's not make as many Generations toys because we're going to focus on the film.
Because that's the big moneymaker, really.
Well, that's what really would get most of the attention.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically a free commercial.
Well, it's not free, but I mean free for Hasbro, I guess.
Right, right.
So let's start with the 07 movie and the toys that came out. And we'll go with, well, actually, you know, Jack, since you're the youngest of us and we've been picking on you here, you've basically grown up with the live action movies, as it were. What's your thoughts on the live action movies versus the other toys that that are also out even prior?
I honestly thought that movie toys weren't gonna sell as great as Unicron Trilogy did, but then I noticed, like, when I started to get into the fandom, all of a sudden I noticed everybody was pretty much posting stuff about movie figures, and it kind of changed my mind about it. And I honestly started a little bit more than this whole top shelf here is all my movie stuff, and I had a lot more, and all of a sudden I started to sell them, and people were more interested in them, because actually Sergio is wanting one of the movie figures, and I honestly didn't expect that to go, because I'd honestly expect this whole shelf to go before my movie stuff. So honestly, I thought it was going to be less popular than what I originally thought, but it changed my mind completely when the years went by. So, you know,
that's what's surprising about the movie toys is that there's a lot of value there for some of these figures that I really didn't I didn't expect as a collector. You know, I expected them to be a lot like the, you know, like the Spider-Mans and the Hulks and the Avenger toys out there. I mean, there's some collectability to them, but they're made at such mass that I really don't know if there'd be that much collectability. But apparently some of them are holding their value, at least holding some value. For example, in the Revenge of the Fallen line, I know the leader Jetfire, you can't hardly find it under $100 anymore.
Yeah.
So when you do,
it's like pieces of them.
Yeah. And it's actually one of my favorites, even though it had a lot of underkibble. It turned into my favorite of aircraft of all time, the SR-71. And it looked really nice at that. How are the movie toys? I know you say there's distribution issues in Australia. What about the movie toys? Do they reach any saturation there?
Well, by the time I moved here was only when Armada came out. So the movie toys, yeah, I would have gone through the entire shebang with it. There was actually really good distribution for some weird reason. Well, I wouldn't say good distribution, it's oversaturation, I guess. There was a point by the time we were watching Revenge of the Fallen where the first Transformer movie toys were still sitting in shops in the original packaging. That was how, and there were gaps. I mean, I can't remember how long the gaps are between the movie.
Usually about 2 years.
Yeah, but there were toys like sitting everywhere. It became an issue, and the movie was what actually caused all the distribution problems in Australia, if I remember correctly. Because when Armada and Energon were out in Australia, it was fine. It was quite easy to find most of the toys. But by the time the movie started coming out, they kept pushing all the Generation stuff away. Because this was about the time when Generation toys were out and about. And because of that, and you'd get like a gazillion like movie toys sitting on the shelves, and they're taking up all the spots, so you can't even find new Generation stuff. And I remember for the longest time, we didn't get anything past maybe wave one or wave two of some of the Generation releases because there were still too many movie toys on the shelves. And places like Target, Kmart, Big W, they weren't willing to bring in new stock until they could get rid of all the old stuff. I mean, I can still find some Age of Extinction Cyberverse toys sitting on the shelves here at the moment.
Wow. Yeah, it's I know local Walgreens. I went in there looking for some brainstorms the other day. Yeah, go figure. Actually, thinking I might be able to find one.
Are you talking about Generations version? I'm sure you guys can find that.
No, I looked at mine and I didn't find any yet.
But there was actually an Age of Extinction Snarl, Deluxe Snarl, still there. So
mine got like the little one step changers. That's pretty much the only thing that's really hanging around in my area.
All the platinum stuff are still in Australia. So like the platinum sets of the Dinobots, platinum set of Optimus Prime of the Autobots, like the 5-pack or something like that.
Yeah, those are all widely available. Yeah, those are all widely available here through ToysRUs.com or Amazon, or if you're listening in Canada, in the collector section in Canada. I'm still waiting for those to go on clearance.
Clearance. Now, the thing with the movie toys is that they operate almost in a different niche than, in my opinion, as a collector, than the rest of the fandom, because where the live action movies actually appeal to such a broad spectrum of fans. I mean, you know, you get your average moviegoer, oh, let's go see this Transformers flick. And then they go in there and they're like, oh, I remember Transformers as a kid or something. You know, they knew about Transformers and they see them and they're awesome. They love these movies and they'll go out and they'll get the movie toys. Whereas they really don't have as much connection to the older toys like some of us. Mm-hmm. So it almost hits an entirely different demographic than actually us. And it's almost as if the movies grab us in as a residual. And that's my perception of it. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that's a big thing is you get people that is nostalgic, but it's a surface level nostalgia. They remember liking it, but they're not fans. They might become fans and after watching the movie and then going back and watching some of the G1 and the stuff that's come before. But on the surface, I think the best term is what has been tossed around before. You're a casual fan.
And they may buy some toys, but they don't hardcore like this, you know.
Yeah. Or some guy that remembers how I used to love Optimus Prime and, you know, oh, his toy's in the store. I'll get it and put it on my mantle, or I'll put it on a shelf somewhere, or I'll buy it for my son or my daughter, whatever the case may be. But those casual fans brought a lot of people into the fandom, and a lot of those went back and saw what came before and are now big, like us, the more hardcore fans.
Yeah.
So without the movie, we're missing a lot of core people as part of the fandom now.
And we gotta face it. I mean, the movie's pumped a crap ton of money into the brand.
Yeah. Well, yes, a lot of people. Yeah. Whenever someone starts, I know I read that someone's bashing the movies. I said, whether you like the movies or not, that's your call. No problem, I understand that. But you cannot fault how much cash they dumped into Hasbro, because we would not be getting, Rick, would you say maybe a third to a half of what we've gotten from in the collector's line would probably not exist to the extent it does now without that movie money?
I absolutely will believe that, yes. Much like Beast Wars saved the brand by reintroducing the concept of Transformers. The movie, whether you like it or not, allowed for the expansion of the brand to more and more people. People are hungry for more information. They want to see what came before. They want to know what else is available. And you bring more people into the collector community who have more demand and more money to spend, and that allows for a greater expansion of the Generations line.
Yeah, because you know we got characters in Reveal the Shield, we got Thunderwing, we got Dark Shadow, we got Trax. I mean, there's so many obscure characters in the Generations line that we would probably not have seen if these people did not become vested in these older characters.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, the very first 2007 movie, what would you say your favorites are from that line, Plasticon?
Mine actually came from Jack here. Me and him made a deal a long time ago, and he sent me a First Strike Optimus Prime, Voyager size.
Plastic to crack.
Me, it's probably the, and I know a lot of people are probably going to hate this when I say this, but I think it's actually one of the most solid Transformer Optimus Primes from the entire movie line to me, because it wasn't too complex, and it actually had a really nice-looking aesthetic.
Yep,
and
it was
pretty
this,
decent.
It was this mold, but it was the G1 painted scheme to it.
Yeah,
right, and that's what the First Strike is. And mm-hmm. it's a lot of people say it's more orange, and it is kind of tilting more toward the orange color. But to be honest, I think that mold to me is probably one of the best movie molds I ever handled. I still have it. That's like one of the only movie molds I even hung on to throughout all these years. Because I got rid of everything else I had, and I kept that one because, first off, it's a gift. Second off, it's just awesome. I just love that guy. I think it was a really decent thing. I like the spring-loaded missile launchers that were the fuel tanks where they fold forward in truck mode, so that way you can actually use them in truck mode, which was kind of cool because you think about it, those people that like mask, that's kind of like a hark toward the whole launching
Rhino.
Missile gun type of thing from Rhino, which was really neat. And, I mean, it's just a solid-looking truck and a solid-looking robot. There wasn't a lot of kibble hanging off that's like, what do I do with this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you had to pick a least favorite from the 2007 movie line, who would you choose?
Oh, that's a good question.
That is a very, very, very good question because quite a few of them did not appeal to me at all. Honestly, I had several of the Bumblebee, and I was really not happy with the transformation. It felt too kibbly and too weak in some parts.
Well,
I didn't like it.
That's the one thing. Especially, it was very evident in the 07 movie line whenever we got the toys. A lot of the times, they were kind of like in like G1, you know, how like G1 toys didn't always really represent the cartoon. I mean, Ironhide and Ratchet, I'm looking at you. You know, they didn't – I mean, the base look of it might have looked like the movie, but the whole transformation scheme, like Bumblebee, I don't think hardly looked anything like the actual movie. Although his toy wasn't that bad, per se, but I mean, everybody remembers the walls and walls of Bumblebee there was, around that time. I would imagine that there's still some floating around out there,
which is ironic. The first movie was hardest to find Bumblebee in Australia. The only way I even got
we had them all here,
Evolution Pack. What was it, the Evolution set? The one which has Bumblebee in both the 76 and then the modern version or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
So, Jack, what about your favorite and least favorite from the 07 line?
Well, from the 07 line, I just had one that pretty much represented the whole series. Well, it was the original three. It was just the movie trilogy series, but from the 07 movie was the Leader Prime. I got, I think, last year, because it was one figure I really wanted to get, and one guy sold it to me, and I finally got it, and I just forgot how fun this thing was. Just a fun figure.
It was fun, but didn't exactly look the way that it did on the screen. It has like tons of kibble on it. I remember that.
Yeah.
What about your least favorite from the 07 line?
Oh, I'd say that's a good question. I don't even think I have him anymore. Actually, I got to say Bone Crusher. Something about him just didn't really click for me. Mine actually stays in robot mode because, or vehicle mode, because I actually lost a head for him. And he just doesn't really want to stand all that great. Honestly, I just like the vehicle mode over robot
Headmaster,
mode.
Headmaster Bone Crusher movie mode.
Maybe I have to do that.
Put a Titan Master on him. There you go.
That's the way to solve it all now, right? Just to go all out right. And buy a ton of these little Headmasters and just slap them on all the guys that are missing them now.
I also want to remind people that if you're watching the show live on YouTube or even listening to it on the downloadable version, you can send us your questions and thoughts, especially if we're live. You know, we may even mention it online or on the air. And I just read the thing. just mute your mic there, Rick. you can follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Send us a message on there, and we may ask it on air. Also, we have a Facebook group if you are watching the show live, like Eric Dupuy is right now, and Brandon Gui, I believe is how you pronounce it. He just commented that 2007 Leader Optimus had rubber tires.
Yeah, he did. That's one thing I forgot about him. He did.
That was really nice about that, one of the aspects about it.
I do have a question asked about the rubber tires. Has anybody had any issues with them deteriorating since then?
Kind of like the RID. I don't think it's been that been long enough for them. It's only been, 7 years? You know,
it's almost 10 years, right?
Yeah, actually,
10.
Yeah.
Because it will be 10 from next year.
That would be a really good listener question, then, if anybody's had any issues with the rubber tires on that Optimus. I mean, there's a lot of people probably have it and be able to comment on that.
It's hard to believe. It's been almost 10 years. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, my rubber tires are actually good.
But what about you, Don? What's your favorites and least favorites?
Well, from the first movie, Jack kind of took my thunder on Leader Prime, because I still think that's just a really, really great figure. But I'm going to go with the Night Watch version, which is one of the most stunning decos I've ever seen.
That deco I love, too.
Yeah, because as much as I love the regular Optimus Prime figure from 07, it's the Night Watch version that just... I actually bought a box one just to have one in the box in robot mode at BotCon last year. So, you know, he's one of my favorites. I also like, as some honorable mentions, some of the expanded movie toys that, like, we got, like Big Daddy that we got from Walmart that year. You know, because that Cybertron downshift mold is a great mold, and Big Daddy colors in the black and orange was a nice homage piece. My least favorite is, without a doubt, Leader Class Movie Megatron. God, I hated that toy. It was terrible. It should burn in the fires of the Inferno. I mean, it didn't transform fun. The face was hidden by a little flap, and that was it. It just sucked. It really, really sucked. And I had the premium version that had paint on it, and it really sucked.
How much did it suck, Don? Did it suck hard?
Was it up here?
Okay, I hated it almost as much as I hate Beast Machines.
Ouch.
That's harsh.
Do you hate it almost as much as Energon?
Energon doesn't hold a candle to Beast Machines.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with...
Well,
I mean, Energon is bad.
Okay. Don, I'm gonna pose this question to you, and
oh my
God, you gotta answer it.
I gotta answer it. Okay.
07 movie Leader Megatron.
Uh huh.
Or Supreme Class Cheetor.
Okay. You can't just toss Supreme Class Cheetor, because that will win no matter. It's like.
No. Which one is better?
Which one's better?
Yeah.
The box they came in.
that's true.
Okay, somebody at BotCon or TFCon or somebody just walks up to you and says, here is this leader Megatron or Supreme Class Cheetor. You can have it free of charge. It's complete and dead bent. Which one would you take? You had to pick one before you go out the door.
Giving them away
as freebies.
I would honestly tell. Well, first I would check eBay on the price of the leader Megatron boxed. Barring that, I would say give those to two random kids somewhere in the room.
But you don't want them to run away from the Phantoms crying, saying, I don't like this.
Well, Cheetor might last 5 minutes with a young kid, so he might get 5 minutes of enjoyment. Megatron, 10 minutes maybe, you know. But, yeah, I would honestly – I am not lying. Other than checking eBay for current going prices, I would say give them to some kids in the room because I don't want them.
Just so you know, Don, I saw a Supreme Class Cheetor at TF Expo when I was in Wichita a couple weeks ago, and I thought of you. I thought about actually, I seriously thought about if I'd had the money, I was going to get it and send it to you just out of the blue.
But then I would hate you forever and ever and ever, and that's not a good working relationship.
Well, I was about to say, let's give out the address. That way we can send all those Megatrons and Cheetors directly to you, and then you can dispose of them properly.
Plasticon. I have set finite skills. I will use them. I will hunt you down, and I will stick Matthew in you.
Listener Eric DePuy says, Headmaster Dawn destroying the future fandom one Supreme Cheetor at a time.
I'm sorry. I literally a few months ago opened up a tote to find things to sell on eBay. Saw Supreme Cheetor, had almost forgotten I paid money for that thing in the store. Was so depressed that I saw it, I literally put the tote back in the closet and stopped looking for stuff the rest of the day.
Brandon Gui asks, at least your Megatron, or says, at least your Megatron. A version of Megatron doesn't sound have sound gimmicks. It sounds like a T-Rex, the original version. I'm not aware of that.
Yeah. The second version had the transformation sound built in, the do-do-do-do-do. Yeah. And then the other one had, like, you know, like roar or like when he broke out of the ice, he was like, rah! It's like, that doesn't sound at all like you. So, yeah, that's...
Yes. I'm right there with you, Don. I have to admit, the leader class Megatron is easily my least favorite from the 07 movie line. Although I would have to say my favorite, I'd have to go with the leader class one just for the first movie prime. I mean, the truck mode, I think, sold me on it. But not so much the robot mode. Just being a fan of truck Transformers, I have to go with that one by default.
Yeah. But one thing I did forget was the leader class Brawl. I remember having fun with that when I first got them.
I never actually owned that one. I saw it in stores, but I'm like, I have the deluxe and I don't need the big one. But
the best thing about leader class Brawl is I bought two of them, took them to BotCon. One guy was coming from the UK, and he had access to every Aereo Swerves when they were going for about $150 a piece. I traded two Brawls for two Swerves, and wow. I think that was a really good deal.
So Don, what you're saying is that you actively cheat people.
What did I say? In the UK, they didn't get the Brawl. They didn't get that one. So, I mean, he was getting a toy. And he told me, at UK retail, it would have been about $125 to $130 just to get that leader class figure imported.
What about you, Rick, from the 07 movie line?
Well, here I am waiting for you to get to me. And nobody's mentioned Voyager Megatron with all that ice crystal stuff all over him. It is probably...
It was Crystal Pepsi, right?
Yes. Voyager Megatron with the frozen Crystal Pepsi on him. probably now, if that had been one of the worst Transformers ever. Say what you will about Mino or Megatron in name only. whether he's the original Megatron or not, it is a fantastic design, and no toy really captures that aesthetic properly. I think the first movie was very experimental for Hasbro and Takara. They were just getting used to the designs. And if you look at the toys that came out for Revenge of the Fallen compared to the first movie, they finally figured out how to make it click and how to make it work. So I cut them a lot of slack on the first movie. But yeah, that Megatron, that Voyager Megatron with all the ice crystal nonsense on him just makes me want to punch a wall.
Very, very frustrating.
Yeah, makes you want to punch a glacier, you know, just for the ice contribution.
Or be like that one scene from The Avengers to where Hulk just slams Thor out of the picture. Wow.
So Rick, do you have a favorite from the 07 movie line?
Well, you know, going back to what I just said, what they did in 07 versus what they could do in 09 and how different they are, say what you will about the Leader Optimus, but I actually enjoy that toy. It's not a very good representation of the character as it appears on screen, especially compared to the Revenge of the Fallen Leader Optimus. But for the time being, compared to the rest of the line, it looked pretty good. That, and I think he ties with Leader Bone Crusher.
Bone Crusher. Oh, yes, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. The, or Devastator. Devastator. Yeah, they, you know.
They couldn't make up their mind on what they wanted to call.
Yeah.
So that leads us into Revenge of the Fallen, which actually had some of the best movie toys, in my personal opinion, of the entire line so far of movies. And I would have to go with the Leader Class Optimus Prime. That thing was very, very complicated, actually, for what it was. But still very, very, very much screen accurate and very beautiful in both modes, in my opinion. I have to admit, I covet the Buster Prime from that mold. The Japanese version with all the chrome bits and stuff. And then they actually have a gun molded from the smokestacks. With that mold. Oh, yes. So that would be my favorite from Revenge of the Fallen. With a very close second with Jetfire, as I said earlier. My least from Revenge of the Fallen, I pretty much all the damn bumblebees. I just got so sick of seeing Bumblebee everywhere I went. It's like, really, you know, at least they didn't do a Mattel and pack him like six to a case and then one each on everybody else, you know, although it kind of felt that way. Jack, what about your Revenge of the Fallen picks?
Well, this one is the Revenge of the Fallen Prime mold. This is actually the Asia Premium Series Ultimate Edition, to where it comes with every accessory that was with the toys. Pretty much had the smoke or the gas tank guns, comes with the swords, the hooks. It does come with the knuckle from Dark of the Moon, where he takes out Shockwave's abs. Comes with the jet wing, the stuff from the Striker, the shield, the guns, and it even comes with the little die-cast Allspark, which was cool as hell. This figure just pretty much captured Optimus from all three movies, and that's what I really liked about him.
I would say that figure is on par with a masterpiece toy.
That's what I wish they would call it, what was the movie masterpiece. Instead of Bumblebee and Starscream.
And but, actually, that the leader Starscream for Revenge of the Fallen wasn't quite bad either. I really quite like that toy as well.
Then this one here is actually, once my camera finally updates again.
And it goes gray.
Yep. Hang on. There it goes.
Well, he, you know, AOL, you know, it's.
Yeah, for our listeners, Jack, before he got on, he heard a lot of.
He's really into vintage stuff. So that's why he's using a vintage internet connection.
Yes.
His
modem says 14.4K on it. Blazing speed.
My thing is kind of slow.
Yeah.
But yeah, the other figure I was going to say was one of my favorites. This is the Hunt for the Decepticons. Voyager Prime, which the line came, I think, just after, or I think 2010, but this was pretty much the leader class mold dumbed down into a Voyager. This figure was just fun.
It was.
Yeah. And it even came with a little Matrix, but I think I lost mine. Nope, there it is. Yeah, he comes with the Matrix, which I thought was cool. So.
What about you, Plasticon?
My favorite would have to be Highbrow. I just love that World War II plane. It was completely different and kind of off the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the idea they did decide to redeco that into Power Dive for G2, which was a really nice homage. Very well, really, really cool use of colors between both. I love the idea Highbrow had that whole, like, shark jaw kind of thing drawn all over him. It's just a really neat looking plane. I just thought it was really neat because, you know, P-38 Lightnings don't really get much love when it comes to anything, and that actually really kind of drew that in. And the transformation was cool. I love the idea that he had the visor helmet that flipped over his eyes, which was kind of a neat little touch that they added in, along with the little buttons you press on the wings to make the propellers spin, which was really cool. My least favorite, a lot of people are going to hate me, the Devastator. It looked like a pile of garbage. Mm-hmm. I hated that thing. I hated that thing. It was like there's so much potential that was lost, especially when they made them larger. There was no reason why they couldn't have individual robot modes.
One was more fun than the Supreme one.
Right. That Devastator to me just – it was okay. We're doing a new take on him. Cool, but I'm sorry. It's a gorilla. What it is.
It's a lot of missed opportunities, too. I hated the fact that there was no individual robot modes for the really big toy. If they had had individual robot modes, with it being very play schoolish in design, and I say that in a loving way, but having a very play schoolish in design, just the mere fact that they didn't have individual robot modes, they went from construction vehicles to combined mode, and that's it. It was very disappointing to me. Now, that being said, the little Legends class one, that was a whole lot of awesome packed into a very tiny package.
Yes, it was, and they actually had robot modes.
Well, the thing is, I think that was a missed opportunity for Hasbro. They really could have made maybe some deluxe figures that combined into that Devastator, maybe somehow upscaling the Legends a little bit and giving them a little more articulations to make that work or something. It was just something that was completely missing from that Devastator. Yeah, that's cool that it had sound gimmick and just, you know, the light and the chomping action. That's cool and all, but I mean, honestly, when a toy is sacrificed from a gimmick, I'm pointing at you, freaking, like, Armada Sideswipe. It's pointless. It's freaking pointless.
You mean Armada Optimus Prime?
Well, that one, too. Optimus Prime. But those, when an entire gimmick hampers the whole toy itself, there's no point in it. G2 did gimmicks right. A lot of people out there are like, oh, I hate G2, blah, blah, blah. I understand your hate because you don't like neon colors and some of the crazy gimmicks. But you have to admit, most of the gimmicks didn't hamper the toy.
Uh-huh.
As much as that did.
Thank goodness you said most, because I would have disagreed with you.
Well, there's some people out there that love G2, and there's some people that don't. I happen to be a G2 fanatic. I happen to love gimmicks. But I hate it when a gimmick completely makes the toy not even fun to play with.
Sorry.
Yes.
What was that? What was that, Don? Did you say RC was a terrible toy? Yeah, that sounds about right.
Well, movie RC, yes.
And for our audio listeners, we have a picture of that Devastator up.
For our audio listeners, we have a picture up.
That can't see it at all, but I mean, he's smashing skids and he has Bumblebee hanging up. Well, he's smashing both of the freaking twins. But I mean, the thing is, the entire gimmick of this toy just completely hampered a lot of its articulation. Honestly, that's probably the most dynamic pose I've ever seen that thing ever in. Other than that, it's normally just standing there like a gorilla.
I have to say, this picture that we're sharing from Sabertron.com, I have to say that this actually makes me want this toy.
I think what's crazy is that the expression on Jason's face went from hatred to seeing that particular picture and going, oh shit, that's actually kind of cool.
Slightly. But I mean, honestly, that's the first time I've ever seen this thing in an actual, like, pose. 90% of the time, if anybody has this thing, it's sitting on a shelf in a static gorilla looking.
My thing is, like, you got this big hulking figure, and look at this right here. This little bitty pose that is like holding the foot up. I mean, it's just like maybe half an inch wide. It just seems so.
It almost looks like this picture, he's ready to like vomit on top of the twins, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, kind of.
Is that yeah.
Well, that's how much I suck. I'm gonna throw up on you.
Yeah. What's sad is the Legends class Devastator is a lot better toy and is like not even as tall as either one of his lists. A lot better toy. Mm-hmm. Still not as poseable, but it looks a lot better.
And okay, I'm actually pulling up a picture of those guys now.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the Legends, didn't it have seven figures versus the six?
Let's see here, 2, 4.
Yeah, that is correct. It has one extra figure compared to the larger
version. I added like a scraper, I believe, as one of the vehicles, which is kind of unique. I like that, but I mean, to me, it's like I said, missed opportunity. With the larger version, they could have done so much more with that. Instead, it's a miracle that turns into a limb, and that's all it does.
Yeah, I have the KO version of the movie Advanced, which was Japan's line of the Age of Extinction, and then I bought that, and I think it did have seven. I just can't tell at the angle.
I believe it does have seven.
I think there was also a G1 Devastator release for that, isn't it?
Yeah,
there was a G1 colored one, but it was only like all green. There was no purple, I don't believe in.
Yeah, it was Toys R Us exclusive.
There it is.
Here they are in vehicle mode. There's 2, 4, 6, seven of them.
Yeah, so it consists of a crane, steam shovel, loader, scraper, dump truck, mixing truck, and a bulldozer.
Mm-hmm. And then we got the combined form there, which actually, you know, for what it was, I mean, this was a Legends class toy or seven Legend class toys that combined into a toy that was maybe roughly the size of a large Deluxe, small Voyager. And the level of articulation and detail on it was amazing. Yeah,
I would love to see them redo this figure with what they can do with Legion class figures today.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see them revisit this with new toy technology. That would be kind of interesting.
Of course, there's the G1 colors of it that was released in Japan. Actually, that's rather recent. Wasn't that like last year or year before last they did that?
No. It came out when Revenge of the Fallen came out in Japan.
Yeah, it came out. I think that one came out toward the tail end of the wave. That color variant did.
And look at the colors on this one here. I don't know if there's been some painting or digibashing on this one, but the face painted with the silver and the green just looks really pretty. And I have to say though, that's one of the best of the Revenge of the Fallen line. So who hasn't said their two cents on the okay, Don?
I haven't. Well, my favorite Revenge of the Fallen figure is going to be Sidearm Sideswipe. I love this Sidearm Sideswipe. This is the Japanese version that doesn't have the red highlights on the hood. But I love the sidearm side swipe. He's got a lot better balance than the original one. The Sideswipe's one of those movie characters that I'll buy all the incarnations of, and I really can't tell you why, but I just want all the movie Sideswipes. And it's just, but Sidearm is my favorite of the deluxes. Runner-up favorite, Ransack the Biplane. I mean, we get a biplane from World War One, early, you know, World War Two, and we get a pretty decent looking robot out of that. And I really like that. My least favorite, this is a pair, and it's because their on-screen presence made me hate the toys, and their faces on the toy. I like the cars. I like the transformation, but the faces on the toys were extremely movie accurate, and that made them suck even worse. Of course, I'm talking about Skids and Mudflap.
I have a question for you here, Don. Which Skids and Mudflap? The one where they're in ice cream truck mode, or the individuals?
Okay, the individual modes. Ice cream truck mode, I can kind of forgive for its uniqueness.
Yeah.
So I can kind of forgive that, but
it's awesome.
But I mean, I took that toy.
I mean,
honestly, when I was selling off all those, I kind of almost didn't want to sell the ice cream truck because it's so weird.
Yeah. But the individual toys, I had no problem with the asymmetrical robot mode. I had no problem with the transformation, but the faces. Oh God, I hate them. I hate them.
I don't understand your problem.
Yeah, so those two combined, and their on-screen personas made me hate the toys even worse.
Yeah.
So they are just a black hole of crap that I can throw Megatron into.
Well, that being said, I remember back in the day whenever the movie was out. And a lot of people criticized Skids and Mudflap for being very racist in their portrayal, I found, personally, I didn't see it as racist per se, but I did find a level of disdain for the fact that, okay, this is a movie that you're bringing kids to, young kids, and you have. And even though this podcast is mainly adults listening and watching this show, but you have Skids and Mudflap sitting there calling each other pussies on screen and stuff. I'm like, mm-hmm. I really didn't appreciate that, you know. And I'm surprised when you say it though. Yeah, yeah. It's funny when I say it because you know I'm not a pussy.
Plus.
Jack, a pussy is what some people call female. Yeah. Okay, I'm just checking, man.
Birds of the bees here, birds of the bees.
Check, please.
Don's
I feel like
Don
made that joke before.
Don's like,
well, hey, it was worth repeating.
Don's like, oh my God, I never thought I'd heard pussy on a Transformer podcast. But hey,
it's a wonder Don's not like, get off my lawn.
But hey, it's in context here. It was actually in the movie, so that's why I bring it up. But it just, as this discussion is about it, it seems so out of place. And Skids and Mudflap, I kind of resent those characters for that reason. It just brought a level of inappropriateness for kids.
Revenge of the Fallen already had so many strikes against it, and they just did not help a damn thing.
No. Which movie line, moving on from Skids and Mudflap, which movie line was it that had Murder Bee? Was that Dark of the Moon?
Yes, Dark of the Moon.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll mention that whenever we come up. Anybody else have their thoughts on Revenge of the Fallen?
Yeah. I think my favorite toy was actually a tie between Blade Sideswipe and Stratosphere.
Jumbotron, right? Yes. Yeah. Stratosphere.
Which was really sad, because I really liked the toy, and then I had to kill the character in the Dark Side of the Moon game.
Yeah.
Starscream. And I'm like, no.
I just love the small little Optimus Prime it came with. Isn't that like the smallest Optimus that's been made? I know it's smaller than World's Smallest. I know it's smaller than a Micromaster.
It's literally, if you have him in robot mode, he's like cradling a baby Optimus. Like, it's seriously that cool.
It's small. It really is. I completely forgot about that toy. That toy was really neat.
He had those weird, like, inverse skier-type legs, which I didn't
know. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like pontoon legs.
All right.
I really like the design in general, and it makes me feel how Broadside should have been in G1. You know, how Broadside was supposed to be a gigantic plane and then was a aircraft carrier, and you go, well, he looks tiny and unmajestic, and then you look at Stratosphere, and he goes like, oh, yeah, no, he looks... I can imagine him being a carrier jet that likes dropping Autobots out of his butt.
Well, that's
pretty much what it was.
Yeah,
pretty much the Astro Train of the Revenge of the Fallen line. But
you have to admit the plane mode was really neat.
At the robot mode. I've got the robot mode pulled up here for the video viewers. It's actually a quite impressive design. I mean, it's the way the wings are, and like Rick said, the big skid feet, but it works. I can imagine this thing. I can use. I'm one of those old people, Jack, that can actually use our imagination.
You can use your imagination.
Yeah, but using my imagination, seeing this thing as a real bot from the real vehicle, this thing would have been Stratosphere would have been absolutely enormous.
I honestly think he would rival against Devastator very well.
Yeah, I was actually just going to say that it could have been a good opponent for Devastator.
All right, so now we're lobbying for Titan Stratosphere. Is that what's happening?
Yes, please.
Who wouldn't want that though? I mean, think about it. You could put Optimus Prime and everything, like park them all inside this gigantic plane that you can hang from your ceiling that probably would take up half your room. But I mean, come on, who wouldn't want
G.I. Joe, right? G.I. Joe carrier jet, just have like the vehicles falling
and
out.
And damn, this is actually making me want this toy now. But I mean, it's actually got really striking color. I mean, you got the gunmetal gray, and then the bright reddish orange.
And the Japanese version is actually nicer. The Japanese version actually gives it a bit of extra color in jet mode to make it look like it's coming through the atmosphere or something like that. A bit like what they did with Jetfire from Armada.
Yeah. Now he was what, a Voyager? Was he a Voyager?
Yeah.
Hey, Jordan, I got one more honorable mention. None of us had mentioned, I don't think. Leader,
I haven't said my horrible one yet.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't know if this will actually answer. I think the worst toy in that line was the Fallen.
Yeah. Oh God.
Jeez, and I'm surprised nobody's mentioned it. Just saying.
It really was. The Fallen just couldn't get up.
I hate the fact that the Fallen really didn't turn into anything that was somewhat recognizable. At least,
he was like the start of it's a Cybertronian something. It doesn't have to make sense.
Yeah,
it could have turned into like. I mean, seriously, why couldn't they just made him like turn into that thing he was trying to bring out of the pyramid? I mean. They could have done some kind of reference there.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of this, whatever the hell it was.
That would mean they had to know how to design that toy or what they were doing at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, the good thing is if you mistranslated, how would you know?
I know, right?
Like, Danny, show me how to transform this.
It's like, the designer's like, okay, cool, we designed the robot, then just throw it against the wall. Okay,
well,
that's
no,
the whole
no, here's how you transform it. You fold the legs up like this, son. You fold the arms in like this. And then you fold the head back just like this. and he's in a nice ball, and you find the garbage can and score.
Yes.
But let's see here. Have we done all of Revenge of the Fallen? Has everybody covered that?
So.
I think we have. Okay. I'm surprised that we got through a Revenge of the Fallen's discussion without talking about Devastator's balls. Imagine that.
I was going to part of the entire thing, but okay.
Well, the toy is bad enough. Do we really need to add insult to injury?
There was actually, I saw somebody had customized. They had found two wrecking ball, toy wrecking balls that they had put on like a little chain, and they put it on their Devastator. And
I think I've seen that. That was just.
I'm like, was that absolutely necessary?
Let me be the first to say this. That's about as bad, and I hope to God there isn't a customizer out there that's decided to try to repaint this thing as a bunch of My Little Ponies.
Repaint what?
Oh, God.
I swear the thing that is there in My Little Ponies. Please,
Why? I don't know.
I mean,
why are you putting it out there? How are you giving customizers an idea?
Some of the plastic things you say, man, it's just like
you need.
I just want to hit you.
You need to go get that really big Devastator toy, Plasticon, and paint it orange.
I have one.
Paint it orange?
Well, no, don't. Remember, hey, Duran, the Target exclusive version was repainted into a heavy orange figure.
Oh, was it?
It's very Halloween-y. A lot of orange and black.
I think I remember seeing that.
Like a Predaking or something, you know.
But even more orange, like a brilliant blazing.
I think it was supposed to be like a G2 version.
No, don't install G2 like that, please.
No.
go ahead.
I was about to say, wasn't Vault? Did that come out in Revenge of Adele, or was that Dark of the Moon? Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was Dark of the Moon, yeah. No, there might have been a Vault in, actually. I think there was a Vault.
I think there was. Yeah.
Hunt for Decepticons, I believe.
Yeah, there was.
I'm looking,
I had both versions of him.
Hang on. Give me a second. Would he be
really the only G2 reference other than Vault Cap.
Yes, Eric Dupuy says Vault was Revenge of the Fallen, yes.
Okay.
I remember here. Yeah.
Shocking.
Yes. And I guess wasn't there a slight redeco of it as in Dark of the Moon or something?
Yeah.
Because I distinctly remember one being in Dark of the Moon.
Yeah. Because they were trying to advertise the Chevy Vault, and they made Vault as the Chevy Vault.
No, his name's Jolt.
Or Jolt.
Yes. And now we've been told by Edward Hunt, listener Edward Hunt, to just hit plastic on with Devi's balls.
Thank you. I'll be here all night.
Teabagged by Devastator.
I know, yep, right?
There was a Revenge of the Fallen Vault. Yep. Or Jolt.
Yes. Yeah. I think that was something that where Chevy was saying, hey, let's push this car and they put it
Chevy
out.
Chevy has been pushing cars all the way through this entire franchise, if you hadn't noticed.
Yeah, don't say.
Really?
No, it's Western Star, but we'll get on to that.
Well, I thought it was Ford, and they messed up the insignia.
I have to say, I wouldn't mind owning a Top Kick myself. Those things look pretty awesome.
Who?
A GMC Top Kick.
Yeah.
But before we move on to Dark of the Moon, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors. CapturePrey.com, great toys, great prices, great service. CapturePrey.com, where you can save even more on orders of $150 or more. Oh, and Jack is falling over.
Who's going to spend $150 or more on Transformers?
I don't know. Jack,
Fortress Maximus.
Jack, don't fall over. Don't be nimble. Don't be quick.
I should be good.
Jump over the cable stick.
hey, Jack, remember, for all the grief they give you, you share the name with one of the best human characters from the Transformers mythos, one of the three best, four best human character, so take some solstice.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry. Let's rephrase that. That only in Dawn's mind is the best three characters.
I said four. Jack, Mika, Rat, sorry.
Eric DePuy says, how do you spend less than $150 on transport? Is this even possible?
That's possible. Obviously, folks,
Eric doesn't know what I spend on Transformers.
Yeah,
so.
just buy movie toys. That's how you spend less than $150.
At a Goodwill.
But, yes, CapturePrey.com, great toys, great prices, great service, CapturePrey.com. And also, Mega Toy Fan, maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with Mega Toy Fan. You can find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Carries lots of great vintage stuff. So if you're looking for a part or a G1 toy that you've been seeking for a long, long time, check out Mega Toy Fan at a popular toy convention near you. Maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with MegaToyFan.com.
Because for all the frivolity aside, there are some, the ones we're talking that we really like, we really do like them. I mean, yeah. You know, it's, and the ones we hate, we really do hate.
So, Don, the Supreme Cheetor thing, you know.
No.
I'm thinking.
No. Don't think.
I will now go out to welfare just to find Supreme Cheetors and ship it to you, Don.
Our goal is for.
I will fly to Australia with your God Mars and beat you up with it.
So, listeners.
It probably would work too.
Contact us at TFYLP and we will get you Headmaster Don's mailing address and let's help him troop build Supreme Cheetors.
Oh my God, hell no!
Good God, just 50 of them sitting all over the floor.
Do you hate
this? This will be awesome and epic, and you can't deny that.
I have a Massey. I have enough to deal with as it is with giant evil cat.
I don't need more of them. I want one day for you to be able to, behind you, have a wall of Supreme.
Just follow them.
Please, no, people. No, do not. I am already on the edge of sanity as it is. This, if you think my puns are bad while I'm sane, just wait till I'm insane. They'll be worse.
I mean, it wouldn't cost a whole lot of money. I mean,
no,
$10 for a dozen, maybe, you know.
No. I swear to God, I will.
I have to look at TF Connors this October.
I'm going to make it a mission. And Dawn, if you try to hide your mailing address, I will find it.
No, I do not. I do not want. Make a donation to your favorite charity in lieu of paying the $3 for Supreme Cheetor.
I can see Headmaster Don contacting BBTS. Yeah, dear Joel, I have a number of Supreme Class Cheetors I would like to
Would see. You like 20 of them? I'm still trying to get rid of the other 30. It's just that I can't find anybody who wants to take them.
God, I hate you all right now so much. I really do.
All right, listener. Edward Hunt says I am in for that. So there's one. I'm up. Headmaster Don, we're getting you some Supreme Class Cheetors. Let's troop build Supreme Class Cheetors for Headmaster Don. Hashtag.
Hell no.
Hashtag Supreme Class. Hashtag Don Supreme Class Cheetor.
Hashtag feminism.
Yeah. At yourmom.com.
Hashtag Massey will kill us all.
Okay, moving on from one branch of insanity to the other.
So, Dark of the Moon. I have to say,
I'm going first.
It's a great album.
I am going first.
Okay,
Dark of the Moon, best toy.
Supreme Class Cheetor. I have to say this.
If they would have took that Supreme Class Cheetor, repainted his Ravage, and released it in that line,
then Dawn drops off. Oh, Lord.
Did he really leave?
I think his internet connection dropped.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, I was about to say, if he left just because of that.
No,
it's internet. It usually happens to him, unfortunately.
Yes.
Yeah,
while we're waiting on Don to come back, who wants to go next for Dark of the Moon?
Can we just talk about Shockwave and how that should have been a leader-sized toy?
Yes.
I was just going to say that was the best toy anyway.
Don?
Don's returned.
You didn't have to rage quit us. You know, I mean, it's not a...
Return of the Don.
My internet quit instead of self-preservation.
Dawn of the Moon.
Anyway.
This is not okay, so
somebody needs to send me a Supreme Class Cheetor so I can repaint this thing as Ravage and send it to Dawn. Then he can't say he has a Supreme Class Cheetor. He's got a Supreme Class Ravage.
Then you'll have a Supreme Class headache when I knock you upside the head with it. Anyway. No Supreme
Somebody please
Cheetors.
Donate that to me so I can send it to him.
No Supreme Cheetors. Anyway. No repainting is massy. Besides, you wouldn't have to paint that much. Anyway, my pick for best Dark of the Moon toy, Voyager Class Megatron.
Yep.
I think that is a phenomenal figure. I wish it had been an actual leader class because I've seen like the foot and a half tall version, the KO version.
Yep, I was about to say.
Yeah, it's too big and too expensive. But I wish I would.
Which
I wish
we'll
they had
actually
done,
talk about shortly.
Yeah, and I wish they had done a actual leader class. But Dark of the Moon was being scaled back as far as the size classes. So that is one of my favorite figures. Really, I guess my least favorite. I guess the least favorite thing about the Wrecker about that was, if you like the Wreckers, you could not get a matching set of in vehicle mode in any size class. Across every size class, they were all different, and if you wanted a uniform look, you couldn't do it. Some of the deluxes were mad maxed out. Some weren't. The Human Alliance figures were or weren't. The Legion class figures was the same way. So it was like, you know, I think that was just a really stupid thing that you could not. I mean, wanting people to complete all the sets is one thing by having like multiple sets of Wreckers. But when you can't even complete the same look in the same series, there's, you know, something wrong with that. And also not getting Human Alliance size fight was a really disservice, because Human Alliance Sideswipe is a pretty good toy.
Oh, Sideswipe. Was there Human Alliance one in Darkseid?
I'm sorry. You know, Soundwave. We talked about
Revenge of the Fallen. We didn't even mention the Human Alliance ones.
Barricade.
Human Alliance Barricade was, like, phenomenal.
I meant Soundwave, not Sideswipe. I meant Soundwave.
So, who was going?
That was me finishing up. You know,
So, who wants to go next? Rick, you were talking about Shockwave.
Yeah, I'm just very frustrated that there's some characters that should be leader toys, but because they're Decepticons, they can't be leader class. And this goes all the way back to the first movie with Blackout. Should have been a leader toy. Mm-hmm. We did not need a Devastator Bone Crusher leader toy in the first movie. We needed Blackout. Third movie, we needed a leader class Megatron. We needed a leader class Shockwave. Great toys, but frustration on my part because I want them to be bigger.
So, you didn't like the Voyager Shockwave at all?
Well, as a Voyager, it works. However, I have this feeling of wanting, because he's such a instrumental character in the film throughout his 91 seconds of screen time, that you want to display him in the right way. And that's a leader class toy, same with Megatron. And it just doesn't feel right when you have this awesome reissue of Revenge of the Fallen Optimus next to this little tiny Megatron. And you have Sentinel Prime, and in between them is like Megatron. And he's like, it's like, what the hell, man? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Know what I'm saying, man.
Know what I'm saying?
What about least favorite?
Least favorite Dark of the Moon toy? Q. I'll throw that out there. I'll be crazy. I'll throw that out there. Just because I hate that character. That deluxe came out in Japan, but I will say that that is probably one of the worst figures because I hate that character. Although I will give a shout out to the Human Alliance Soundwave. Yes. Very well done.
Hey, Rick, you dropped out for me. What character was it? Because I didn't hear what you mentioned.
I said go to hell.
Oh, it's hard. No, he said Q.
Oh, okay.
Q. I don't care for Q, but, you know, it's just it's more of a because I hate the character, not so much the toy. But
I hated Q because he was such a foil in Star Trek The Next Generation that he was so annoying.
Hey,
every time he appeared.
Well, just remember, we can't let this rip us apart and cause discord.
I feel insulted. Okay.
I know.
So, Jack, your favorite and least favorite from Dark of the Moon.
Well, I'm actually going to start with least favorite because there's actually quite a few of them.
Oh, my God, Jack. Are you kidding me? I figured out who you sound like. You're Joe Swanson from Family Guy.
Oh.
So that's why he almost fell down. He's in a wheelchair.
I don't know these people. I am not connected with them in any way, shape, or form. Send all hate mail to Duron, care of TFY.
So Jack, just jump through a hoop for us. Say, Bonnie, I love you. You're the love of my life.
You got to say it like this. Bonnie.
Bonnie.
Well, you ruined it.
Well, that's why I don't do impersonations.
You got to work on it.
I'll work on it, then I'll try next week.
Cosplay as him at TFCon.
I got a gray shirt on. I just
cosplay
need...
as Jack? Jesus.
No. Cosplay as...
Joe Swanson?
Yeah, Joe Swanson.
All I need is a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. And a really buff upper body. You know.
Oh, that ain't going to happen.
not with that attitude.
All right, your least favorite Dark of the Moon.
Well, I was going to say for my least favorite, Crankcase, I didn't really like. I actually got him free from a friend of mine, Brian, and I transformed him once, and it was not pretty.
He's not your friend anymore, right? We're giving you Crankcase.
Well, I kind of thought about it, but he's a good guy because he gave me Dark of the Moon Thundercracker. That one's fun. But
Crankcase, he is one of the dreads, right?
Yeah. And honestly, I got him to robot mode, and the little dreads that came off, because he actually came with like little rubber dreads, they literally snapped off on the first transformation.
Did you get the variant with the unsnipped middle fingers?
The what?
That toy, actually, there was a few that leaked out, but the middle finger on the, robot mode was extremely long, and it looked like he was flipping the bird. So Hasbro went in there, and they snipped them off.
I was always under the impression is that they were dangerous because they were too sharp and too long.
No, it had to do with some guy complaining.
Mine are snipped off.
Well, it's weird because I've got one from JD's collection that I haven't sold yet. JD was over.
Are you going to see that? I know it's. But yeah, they're snipped off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. When
I didn't notice that until now.
When JD's widow sent me his stuff, that was one of the figures, and he's got one of the unclipped ones in his collection.
Wow. Which
is sort of odd.
I would imagine that would have some value since it's unaltered, and I don't think they were that common.
Yeah, I'm still trying to sell stuff. So yeah.
Another one I pretty much hated was the Mudflap. This was just a piece of crap. The only thing I really found good on him was the weapon. That was it.
You know, I hated Mech Tech. I did not care for Mech Tech at all. It was just something that was not my cup of tea. It was
really awkward. I felt it was really awkward for what it was.
Well, I mean, it clashed with the design of the toys, in my opinion. I mean, you had some of these really nice, sleek designs, and there were some really nice designs in Dark of the Moon. I have to give it that. Murderbee. And then you got this really nice-looking car, and then you slap this big, gawky gun on top of it, and it's like, that shit's stupid.
Yeah.
I didn't care for it.
I will say, at least with Mech Tech, the gimmick kind of didn't ruin the figures to some degree, but at least on some of the vehicles, they had the little spring-loaded cover holes. So
got that on his cab.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and so does Sideswipe, which I really appreciated them putting those spring loaded covers in there. That was a real nice touch to not mess up the aesthetics of the toys that you did like.
Absolutely. So you have any more?
No, I think that was it.
All right. The
Dawn. So strong.
Dawn, have you already went for Dark of the Moon?
Yeah, I've already gone with Megatron.
Okay. So you're Rick. Yeah, no, we went with you. You've already done. Oh, who have I not?
Steron.
I haven't said anything yet.
Me and Hank.
Yeah. Why don't you go first, Jason?
All right. I would have to go. Let's go with the one I hate, and that was Laserbeak.
Mm.
I was not a fan of that alt mode. It made no sense to me. I mean, it's supposed to be like some hover
UAV type thing
with feathers sticking out.
The bird mode wasn't bad, though.
The bird mode was cool, but then again, I wasn't really a fan of the bird's face because it looked like a damn buzzard or like a turkey or something. It was
awkward.
It didn't even look menacing. It just looked comical. Like it should have been like a freaking, you know, like drawn like a cartoon or something. I just did not like that toy. I didn't like the way it transformed. I heard, and after a while, mine became so loose it didn't even want to stand up. The head just flopped. It was just not a good toy, in my opinion. I didn't like it. The one I actually did like, well, other than Murderbee, because everybody freaking loved that thing, mainly because of the colors, I would have to go with the Power Glide, that Legends figure. Because it was really cool that they actually implemented weaponry into it.
Especially a G1 aesthetic, too, almost.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a very well-done, smaller toy that fit in. Some people probably thought, you know, he was a little too small. But to be honest, he was a really good-looking
figure.
Very well-designed.
You know, actually, I still prefer him to the Combiner Wars Power Glide. I mean, I like the Combiner Wars Power Glide overall, but he doesn't pay together near as good as the Dark of the Moon version.
Right, and the big thing I liked was the fact that his weapons, you can put them elsewhere. I mean, they integrated and made it so that way it all worked instead of just getting like a weapon you just slap on top or something that sticks off the back end of a truck or something. You actually had purpose for the weapons, which was really neat. I did like the way the transformation was. It was not, and like you were saying, it clicks together. I got the G2 Power Glide that came with my G2 Aerial Bots. It seems like it's lacking a little bit, and to me, I think the only thing I don't like about that one is the butt flap portion. It's supposed to be like a sight. I think they could have made that click up into his back or something. Would have cleaned that up. But I mean, between the two, I mean, I really did like that movie toy. I didn't think it was too bad. And it actually got a repaint in a Walmart exclusive as green.
Yeah, I think that was the ultimate.
It was like a five-pack. Yeah, it was like
It had like Barricade and Crankcase. Then it had three Autobots. It had Optimus, Bumblebee, and Power Glide, I think.
Yeah.
Because I have the Generations Ultimate gift set, and they came out with two. It was that one, and they had the Dark of the Moon.
I think that was the last Ultimate gift set they had done.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, a lot of those Legend figures, they were pretty solid. They weren't really too bad. I mean, some of them, they transformed just fine. They stood up okay. There might have been a couple that just didn't work well. But overall, I'd say across like the entire movie series, most of those were really decent, solid figures. I don't know. Did you guys get the same vibe from a lot of the Legend figures like that?
I like Sentinel Prime. He was cool. That was a solid little figure.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it's. I'll be honest. I still have not been able to fully transform Sentinel Prime, the Leader Class version. It's still in a box somewhere, half transformed. I just gave up. I couldn't get anything to line up. It's just.
I was in the middle of my transformation, and the shoulder thing to like click the shoulders in for it to hold. One of them actually broke when I was transforming it. So it's like his arm would just flop around whenever I try to mess with him, and the transformation just crazy on that thing.
So, Hang, what about yours?
Okay, well. I have some honorable mentions about my favorites. Like Jason, I really liked Power Glide, and seriously, for the longest time, he was my generation's Power Glide because that Leader class was rubbish. I also really like Autobot Guzzle, just because they actually made a Sparkerbot, like a new toy for a Sparkerbot, which was like unexpected. But really, my favorite was a Japan release, and I'm just going to put up the photo in the chat now. Air Raid. Not the incredibly terrible Air Raid that we got in English, but a really cool looking one that Japan got, which I don't like. It's in my.
I'm bringing up the screen share now. So.
And I like it just because of the design. I don't know, like as much as the movies were really bad, and some movie design toys were really terrible. Probably not as bad as RID, but still. They had some really good robot modes, I personally thought.
Yeah, that's really nice color scheme, the gray with the orange.
It's not red.
It looked much better than the Thrust Redeco.
Yeah.
And I like the colors on this much better than Thrust. Although I still think the robot mode is a little derpy, where his head's kind of like sunk in like the middle of his chest almost, but it kind of does add a bit of a character to it, so.
I like this colors better, and I think I just like the fact that his head was in his chest plate, like because in plane mode it's technically where the pilot would be in.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. I just really like that kind of aesthetic.
Well, here's something that I read from a translated interview with one of the designers. He was actually the designer was a big Machine Robo fan, and those color schemes are actually an homage to Heatseeker.
That's a good connection. I see that now.
I've got Heatseeker right here.
That is, that is a nice one.
Yeah, so that the designer wanted a Machine Robo homage, so they did. That's why they did those colors.
Do you guys remember the name of their? There's a motorcycle that came out during all the movie line, but it was a Machine Robo homage as well. And it looked like a, I want to say it was a red bike with blue and white stripes.
RC?
No.
It was a crotch rocket.
Yeah, it was a crotch rocket.
Was Brimstone. Was it called Chopper Face? Or?
Was it Brimstone?
No, Brimstone was an older looking motorcycle.
But no, he didn't say it was this series. He said it was throughout the movie.
Oh, so
it
could be any
of them. Yeah, throughout the movie series. I was just trying to figure out which one was that, because I know there were quite a few homages throughout the movie series that were homages to GoBots.
Fracture.
Run of the Fallen.
Yeah, Fracture was one as well as Crasher.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking more towards movie one or two, but I can't think of the name.
I know.
Because I know there is a Cybertron released Lugnuts, which was like a little chopper, and I remember seeing a red one, I think, released for the movie.
Well, in the first movie, there was a motorcycle. I don't remember the name, but it was. I'm looking at the picture now. It reminded me of Dart from Machine Robo. Is that the one you're thinking of?
That must be the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, it's. I'll see if I can get the picture up. It's a green. Hang on, let me see if I can get this up. Come on, give me what I need. Thank you. And we'll try to put this in, see if this works. Yeah, because I have this figure, and I remember getting it and thinking, with the way it was sort of slanted forward, it kind of reminded me of Dart from the Machine Robo line.
Okay. Yeah.
That was the same mold. This thing came out in like 3 or 4 different molds. This one actually literally looked like it. It was red.
Yeah.
The one I'm thinking of.
I remember that one.
Yeah, there was a red mold of this, but I can't remember the name.
There was a red one, and then there was a white one as well.
Now, this is a green Crotch Rocket motorcycle. Which one is this one again?
It says knockout in the URL, so I'm thinking what it was.
Yep, I'm trying to remember.
White one was Backfire. I know there is another one, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. I used to have it. And what was funny is these guys could actually ride on the back of each other. A lot like the Junkions. Because they actually would actually fit on top. They would actually be able to ride each other just fine because the scale was correct. I am trying to find this thing, and I cannot find it.
All right. Well,
this is the one I was thinking of.
Okay, yeah. It's wasn't that Lugnut?
Yeah, this is the Hightail, the movie or I think universe.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the one I was thinking that he was talking about.
His name's Trenchmouth. I found.
Yeah, okay.
Trenchmouth.
That's familiar.
How can we forget that name?
That's a good one, isn't it? Let's see here. I don't have him in robot mode, but I do have him here in vehicle mode, so I can actually screen share this real quick for folks that want to see. That's the one I was talking about. That is literally the same, almost the same deco as a Machine Robo.
Yeah.
Rick, can you remember is the name of the Machine Robo scooter, I guess it was? It looked a lot like that.
You mean scooter?
Well, it wasn't a scooter, but there was one that was a motorcycle that was like that.
Well, yeah, Dart.
I'm trying to remember. It must have been Dart then, yeah. But I thought those were actually really solid, like, molds throughout
Jason,
the entire...
Jason, can you give me the number to 911 real quick?
Jesus.
Lord. The number to 911. Oh, Lord. I pulled up an animated GIF that I need to, Anyway. Moving on. I think my favorite, or one of my favorites from Dark of the Moon is actually kind of surprising to a lot of people, but it's actually I've got like 2 movie toys to my name now, and this is one that I kept I reobtained because I missed it so much. It's a fun little toy, and it looks good in both modes, and it's kind of unique, and it's this guy here, Dark of the Moon Hatchet, from the jet into like a gargoyle type thing, and I flipping love this toy.
The old Cyberverse one. Yep.
Yeah, and it just works on so many different levels.
And, yeah, the Eurofighter looked really good when it was actually in jet mode, and didn't look like it had a lot of like monster kibble hanging off of it, really.
Yeah. Probably my least favorite from Dark of the Moon. You know, I've been racking my brain trying to think of what a least favorite would be from Dark of the Moon. There was so many. Probably Dark of the Moon Prime. It was a letdown after the leader class from Revenge of the Fallen, simply because they oversimplified it so much. And then whenever Age of Extinction came out, they went even farther, and it basically was just a...
Sorry, Duran, you mean the large, the very large Optimus Prime they made?
The butterfly wings.
The butterfly wings one, yes, okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
and $100 Optimus.
That's the ultimate edition, right?
But, well, there was two versions. There was the first edition that was a little simpler and wasn't as nice, and then you had the retail version that was a little bit nicer as far as a little more complexity. It's weird because the regular retail version was the better figure. Then they used the first edition version for the Target Silver Knight Prime, which I actually have, and I love that deco on that figure. That's the best alternate deco I've enjoyed since the Nemesis, since the Night Watch colors.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that one the one that was repainted as, what was it, Year of the Dragon or Year of the Snake?
Year of the Snake, I believe. I believe it was. All right, let's move on to has everybody went for Dark of the Moon? I don't want to.
Yeah.
Okay. Age of Extinction. All right. Now this is when the most recent line. It was met with a lot of disappointment, in my opinion. I was massively disappointed with that line. The Dinobots. I tried to like them, but it was just they missed.
I couldn't even do it.
And I think it was largely in part because the screen time for those guys was just like abysmal in the movie.
Screen time in the film has nothing to do with toy design.
It killed my desire for the toys, though. You know, I mean, it didn't inspire me. I wasn't keen on the designs to begin with, but if they had had awesome characterization in the movie, it would have enticed me to actually keep the toys more. I mean, so far now, the one Age of Extinction toy that I kept because I just like the design of it, even though there's aspects about it I absolutely hate, and that's Slog.
Best one.
Yeah, I like it. It's got a good aesthetic. I hate the rubber bits, and there's way too many rubber bits on this toy. Mm-hmm. The chest piece, some of the belly piece, I just it enrages me. But Age of Extinction, it with the Dinobots, it had so much potential to have a really great line, and it's just like, let's mail it in, you know. It's what it felt like. What do you guys feel?
Well, you know, think about what was happening behind the scenes at that time. There was a lot of transition at Hasbro. A lot of people who were on the brand no longer being employed there, and people who weren't TF designers being brought on board to design TFs for the first time. So it was a lot of those people trying to find themselves, in a way. That's how I kind of look at it, but I don't think there's any forgiving for the Dinobot Slash figure that we got.
God. Oh, rage. That thing. Yeah.
That thing was worse than my Kickstarter. Oh, come on. You can't laugh at yourself?
Rick, what was your favorite and least favorites from the line?
Well, Slash was definitely not my favorite. I just don't care anymore. Who cares? Who cares about Transformers? I don't think I have any favorite in that line. I don't think there's a toy that I like in that line. I'm trying to think. It's not Leader Grimlock. It's not Optimus. It's not the Deluxes. Yeah, you know what? I'd have to say that's probably the best one, that and the Snarl.
Not the Helicopter Drift?
No, they're just the two best ones. And I don't think either character was in the film, right? Those two Dinobots?
I If Slog was in it, it was like Snarl and G186 movie.
I don't think he was in it.
Yeah.
He was.
No. And same with Slash. I don't think Slash was in it at all.
No, thank God.
Although it was had pretty colors.
I could tell you a whole story about the Dinobots and how that was supposed to happen, but that's a discussion for another day. I left Hasbro right as the first script was coming in, and originally we were expecting to see a lot more Dinobots and to have them in the film starting around the midway point, and Grimlock was going to talk. But, we got what we got.
They screwed that pooch.
much like you screw Massey.
How? Now, begs the question, how much input did Hasbro have over the movie characters? I mean, did they just say, like, here's the characters we want, do what you want?
It wasn't quite as blunt as that. It was, we would present a series of boards, of characters and how they could look. For Age of Extinction, we presented Hound, Smokescreen, Drift as the three new Autobots, and Hound was like an awe striker. He was like an armored awe striker from G.I. Joe, like the vehicles from the first Transformers
movie that Nest had.
So he was like that, and he was like the old war veteran, and I made sure to put the Saigar in there. Smokescreen was going to be a boxer, and he had the big hand. He had like big boxing glove type hands because we thought, hey, they'll probably like dumb shit like that. And that became Slingshot. And then Drift was pretty much Drift right from the comics, and then he became a Bugatti. Lockdown was we created a bunch of art for Lockdown for the Chinese MMOG, and we kind of repurposed that where he was the beat up Mad Max Fury Road type of car, and he ended up being a Lamborghini because that's totally in his character. So we just kind of present ideas and let the studio take what they like from there. And that's kind of the input. And we kind of give them, like, story beats. Like, Dinobots, they need to be recruited by Optimus. They're here on Earth. They're buried in the ground. Optimus finds them. Optimus gets sword. That's, like, the sword of leadership type thing. Story beats. And then they take those and do what they will.
Well, they sort of use that.
Yeah, it's funny. Some of the stuff we pitched for movie 4 seems to be showing up for movie 5. So it's
The Last Night type deal.
We didn't pitch The Last Night that title. We pitched it as The Knights of Cybertron. And then that became The Last Night. But no, there's a few things I've seen online show up that have like. They were directly part of the initial pitch that we put forward for movie 4. So it's cool to see some of that stuff. I'll tell you what they are after the movie comes out, if I care anymore.
Brandon Gui says his least favorite is Deluxe Lockdown, Leader Grimlock, and Slash.
Makes sense.
What about you, Jack? What's your best?
Well, I say Evasion Mode Prime I like a lot. I just wish they kind of had a little bit more paint on him to pick out the details that he had pretty much in the movie. But I think my favorite figure out of the line was the Helicopter Drift, the repaint of Dark of the Moon Skyhammer. I just love this figure. I could not put him down for the first week I had him. He was just so fun.
But you could have just got Skyhammer and been just as happy. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's kind of a cop out because that's not originally a movie toy, but it was repurposed to be a movie toy. I don't know if you should include that in the list, but I'm just saying. Just that's my view on it.
But yeah,
that one's not a movie toy to begin with.
Then the other one I actually like, Dark, or the classic Camaro Bumblebee.
Because, that one, you know, was actually nice too.
Just for the car, pretty much. So that's pretty much it.
There's one that I'm waiting for somebody to say that was actually a real pleasant surprise that didn't appear in the movie, from my recollection. But I'm going to wait and see if anybody says it. Don, what about you?
Well, I think my favorite Dark of the Moon toy, I want to go with two things. My favorite looking toy is that Silver Knight Optimus that I mentioned that was a Target exclusive. I wish they had used a better Optimus mold for that figure, but I really like the way that figure looks. It was a great deco and a great paint job. But my favorite figure, I think, probably going to be Voyager Class Hound. It was a really good toy. It looked like the character, as far as translated well. It wasn't a overly kibbly mess like a lot of the Dinobots were. So, you know, probably Voyager Hound is one of my favorites. Least favorite, you know, I'm looking at a lot of the pictures now because I was trying to refresh my memory on what was a – and I'll be honest.
There's so much.
There's so many. Probably I'm going to say biggest disappointing figure other than the Dinobots was probably Galvatron.
Yes. That's who came to mind as my least favorite. Yeah. I mean, it's basically a box on his back that was his vehicle mode.
Well, I will admit, them compressing the box like that was good engineering. That the backpack did condense that low. It's just for you kind of expected more from a Voyager class toy. If you compare him to, say, Hound. So, yeah, but Galvatron was a huge disappointment. The Dinobots collectively are the biggest disappointment in toys. But I think that Galvatron is just a really, really poor executed toy.
Well, and the U.S. version had, like, no detail at all in face. I mean, you look at the prototypes that we saw early on, and we saw the sculpted detail in there, and it was actually quite nice. I give it that.
Yeah, and
well, when we get the actual toy, there's like no paint on it at all. It's pretty much
Games Workshop gray. That's the only color.
If there's the gray, pretty much a couple strands of blue and the gold.
Yeah, heck, the power battler that came out at the very tail end of the line that you found at Ross and Marshalls and stuff. That little figure looks so much more better than the Voyager.
Yeah. So, Plasticon, what about your best and worst?
Well, my favorite, Evasion Prime. Also, that Bumblebee that Jack held up a while ago, that classic Camaro. I mean, that was we rarely ever get any classic vehicles in Transformers. And
I wish they would change that.
I really wish they would just do an entire freaking line of like rat rods and old school muscle cars and stuff like that. G2 literally Jolt. Just do a whole thing.
G2 Jolt. That's the whole reason I bought that thing.
I mean, all of them. I mean, seriously, that should happen. But to me, I really like those two figures. They're really well done. I didn't mind the robot mode for Bumblebee. It looked pretty decent. I did like the kind of almost inverted looking colors and such. It really added something to that toy. The thing I absolutely hated, One-Step Grimlock. What is that crap? That what? Big, gigantic, tall thing that you literally
put one handle. This is One-Step Grimlock. This is One-Step Grimlock.
No, that's fun. I'm talking about the big one. The one that like is the, like the one that was like expensive.
You mean the Stomp and Chomp?
Just whatever the heck you want to call it. Yeah, that Stomp and Chomp, whatever the hell it was.
The one they repainted green stupid. For robots in the sky.
Man, yeah, exactly. It is a piece of junk. To me, I don't. It's pointless. I mean, it's great for kids, but that's the kind of crap we had on the shelves.
They were going for
the heck. I mean, honestly, there was a lot of potential. They could have done something cool with that scale and size to make it actually work for older collectors. Instead, they give us a one handle, and you got a little gimmick thing where you put like this sound chip thing. I mean,
so I was there when all when we were working on the beginning of that film, and we created this really cool epic piece of art of Optimus riding on top of Grimlock, and we all thought, all right, that's the toy. It's going to be a giant Grimlock. And you're gonna ride on top of your Optimus. He's gonna be on top of it. It's gonna be baller. And I think I got my Stomp and Chomp Grimlock for $15 on clearance at Walmart.
I wouldn't even pay that.
I'm one of those kind of people that I really like, you know, like the old Jumbos from like years ago. You know, like the big Jumbo shampoo bottle. Robots.
Yeah. Right?
Those were awesome. Cool. That thing is like an abomination to that scale of toy.
Yeah.
It's a piece of garbage. I mean, I'm sorry, but anybody that dumps any kind of money on that thing, I mean, it's just not a fun toy. I mean,
So ease off. Settle down. Take
breathe
a breath.
Some ether.
I'm sorry.
I want to pose a question to you. If you were an 8-year-old kid and you got that toy, imagine your reaction. What do you think? Place yourself into the body of a young child. Not literally.
I was about to say that.
That is just creepy, dude.
And just imagine what you would be like if you got this big giant T-Rex that turned into a robot. What do you
He would reenact that scene from the first movie with Bumblebee popping out the oil thing.
No. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Bumblebee, honestly, to me, like, think about how much play value that thing really had. And think about the toys we got when we were that age. I mean, there's no comparison. It just doesn't. I mean, to me, just even the price point was just stupid on that thing.
I think we should just give one to Jack and sit him down and see how long he plays with it.
No.
Okay, here we go. Let's army build these things to send them all to Jack.
Oh, he gets the cool toy. I get a Supreme Cheater.
Yep. I get Grimlock. He gets Cheater.
Hey, I've been cheated.
Then we can have the two get together, and then they can have an all-out battle.
I wonder if there is going to be a Supreme Cheater reissue for the next movie.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. If they want to reissue Supreme Cheater, that's great. Just paint them like Masterpiece Cheater, so that way the colors could be spot on.
Star Seeker Cheetor.
Platinum edition? Yeah.
You missed the joke.
Well,
you were saying a joke?
Yeah.
You were telling a joke?
Yeah, so the colors could be spot on.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got it. That was a great
one. And that's why you're single.
Crystal Pepsi.
Hang. Your favorite and least favorite from Dark of the Moon. Age of Extinction.
I have to admit, from the tunnel words of my wife when she saw Optimus Prime jump onto Grimlock, this is stupid. There was really nothing from Age of Extinction that I liked or really hated because I just had no interest in the line. The
you
second
were
I saw, oh yeah, I was neutral. Tell my wife.
Age of Neutrality.
It just didn't interest me at all, and I think Dark of the Moon killed my interest in the movie line, and so I'd rather put more money into Generations or other stuff. I mean, if I was just looking at design alone, Scorn was really interesting.
Yes,
I really liked
it. Somebody said Scorn.
Oh, wrong way.
Okay. Yes.
Scorn was really interesting. Scorn, I thought, was a really good and interesting design. And if I was going to say worse, I was really let down by Lockdown? Was it Lockdown?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because his head didn't transform into a gigantic rifle. Which, if it did, like even if it was like a chest plate swinging up to show a rifle as his head. Yes, I know it pegs on. It's not the same.
Meh.
It, it, It was like the chest, like from the chest plate, it suddenly flipped up onto where his head is as a rifle. I would have just bought it for that ridiculousness. But yeah, there was really nothing in the line I cared for. I have a friend trying to get rid of her Grimlock, leader-sized Grimlock, and she was like going, oh, so how much would you sell it for? And me and another guy who are like part of the Australian Transformers Facebook group are just looking at it going, we don't know. I don't think anyone wants to even try to sell this because no one will buy it. Like,
I take it for free.
Yeah. No, you'd have to pay for shipping.
Nah, that's true.
But like it was just, I was so indifferent about the line, was really, really sad. Like, there wasn't anything I was interested in. Maybe would have bought Scorn, but then that would mean I would have to have bought something from AOE, and I just didn't feel like it.
All right. Now, we're kind of running long on time, but I do want to mention while we're on the subject of movie toys, the oversized KOs that's come out as of recently, Wei Zhang, I believe is how it's pronounced, has been putting out some really, really nice stuff, that is just basically, they're kind of KOs, but at the same time, they've actually done something to them. I mean, yeah, these throttle bots are pretty much straight up oversized and knocked off entirely. But Don, you've got a perfect example of something that they actually put a little effort into.
Oh, more than a little. This is their version of the Age of Extinction Optimus Prime. Transformation is probably 90% the same, but they went in, added joints, added some die cast, added more paint, added a back to cover the robot parts inside the vehicle, and just basically give you a whole load of accessories, an axe, a shield, the boost, the gas tanks become weapons. This thing is probably as close as you're going to get to being as legitimate a figure. Cause I mean, it shares the same transformation as Optimus Prime, obviously, but the work they put into this figure makes it feel completely different. The materials are stronger. The plastic is better. You have a little more room at this size because everyone knows if they've transformed the evasion mode Prime, there's not a lot of room to get those arms turned around.
Yeah.
It's still a little tight on this one, but there is a little more room. And he runs about 80 to 100, depends on where you get them. And if you like the evasion mode Voyager, which was running 25 and 30, for the sheer size, the extra jointage, the die cast that's in there, and the weapons, if you can get this for 80 to 100, in most cases is free shipping, this is a phenomenal toy.
It almost looks like MP10 in truck mode.
It does. It scales very similar. The only thing I wish they would do, because I have my regular evasion mode Optimus with the DX9 Genrai kit. I wish someone would do a Genrai kit for this one.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, that would be nice. But I love him as he is. He's got, it's either rubber tires or that vacuum or that rubber substitute. But I think they're rubber. Yeah, but it's not that slick. So I'm thinking this is actual rubber tires. I mean, they even went and added some pieces on the bottom, if my camera will stabilize, that those actually help cover, in robot mode, some of the holes in the shoulders that the regular evasion mode leaves just wide open. So, you know, the only downside to this figure is you can't quite – now, this could be my copy – but you see that small little gap right there where two grills meet?
Mm-hmm.
You can't quite get those two to peg flush. The tolerances just are not there to get it to stay down. But other than that, this is one of the best third-party, fourth-party toys, however you want to call it. I mean, even the feet, they rearranged the feet to form the back of the truck where a peg hook would go. And they have a trailer for this figure.
Oh, do they?
Yes, yeah. There's a trailer for this figure and their version of the MP10.
I believe their version can actually work for both.
Okay, all right.
I thought it was two different.
I thought it was two different trailers.
I can't remember. I thought it was Ben's Collectibles. I think did a review on it, and I think he said they work for both their version and the of MP10 and the evasion mode. Ooh. Actually, I should look that up now, quick.
But, you know, for those people who are looking for, I mean, that's actually masterpiece. I have to say
it is.
I've seen one in person at Orson's, and it was absolutely jaw dropping. I never realized I would want a movie figure or movie character so hard until I saw that toy. I'm like, if I sold every movie toy I had, I would keep that one.
Yeah,
because it's well, it's not even official.
I've never heard of this company up until this started making the rebounds on the reviewer network, and I watched a couple of reviewers, P-Y'all, MGov, a couple of them review this toy, and had really high praise about it, and I wanted a better evasion mode Optimus than the Voyager because it needs to be more mass to it. And this is exactly what I wanted.
Yep, I found that video. It does work for both of them.
Yeah, oh, awesome.
Eric Dupuis says, yeah, same trailer works for both. But I mean, Wei Zhang, they've, and it's oversized KO. It's pretty much what it is of the evasion mode Prime. I believe they've done the regular Long Nose Prime too, have they not? Or is that one in the works?
That one may be in the works. The only thing I've seen, at least on eBay, when I was looking for this, was their version of MP10 and the Nemesis MP10.
So, I mean, they've done those. They've done the Toy World Throttlebots. I've got the Goldbug. I've got the Chase, and I've got the Searchlight in hand, and all of them are great. The only one I've had a little issue with was the Chase. One of the mirrors where it pegs on came off really easy. I just took some super glue to it. But, I mean, looks like it was meant to come off, but it just wouldn't stay on. But aside from that, all the joints are good and tight. Great quality. And then I've actually held at TF Expo, there was someone had one of the oversized, and they've gone so far as the KO. Like I said, the Toy World bots, these are third party toys they are knocking off. So they did the Feral Rex in oversize. This thing is, to say the least, massive. I mean, I'd say on Generations Metroplex or Titan Returns Fort Max, he would easily come up to just under his head. That large. I mean, and if you can get the entire 6-piece set for about $100 to $110 shipped from China, the Feral Rex.
I watched Ben's Collectibles actually do a review of that thing, and there are some slight variations they did on that.
However,
they skimmed out on.
However,
not enough to really turn you off. It's actually well worth it.
Actually, there's a fix for that. The Wei Zhang, the same company, has also got an upgrade set
for $15
that takes away all the oversimplifications. You know, we got the movable robot, individual robot hands, the lion mane on the razor claw, the super robot hands are more articulated. So basically, for $115-$120 shipped from China, you can get a really, really large Feral Rex, and
I've been seriously considering the Nero Rex version in the black and purples.
Yeah,
that one's nice.
The
sword for it is stupid big. I mean, it's a good half meter long. I mean, it's enormous.
Just browsing eBay, and I found that same Prime that you were talking about, Don, for $60.
Oh wow, that's a
lot.
Can you
put a link to that?
It's gone down in price.
But only now, what's the shipping? What's the shipping?
No, that's free shipping.
Oh god, that's about 30 less than I paid.
I'm about to make a purchase. Put the link up.
There you go. It looks okay, like he's got 8 more available for those listeners. I know, you know, obviously Rick's about to snag one, but I thought I'd let the listeners know, you know, live, this auction is on eBay and it's going for $60.
There's a problem. The seller can't accept payments at this time. You screwed him, dude. Looks like he's being shut down.
Oh, SpaghettiOs.
Okay, anyway.
I'll just keep looking as we're doing this.
So I was confused because I was looking up who the heck these guys were. The company is called Weijiang, and they've done a whole bunch of stuff besides Transformers. I don't know about if you guys know about the Fire King Combiner. They've done oversized versions of a few of the Age of Extinction toys. And I'm hunting down for an official for their official website because I can actually read Chinese. Things you learn about me.
Yes.
The more you know.
An interesting name. They're trying to call themselves like the Great General.
Yeah, the Searchlight. I can't remember. Hold on, let me grab the box for him real quick.
And it goes all quiet.
We all go quiet. What just happened there, yo?
I'm just trying to make a purchase and I can't.
I know, and I noticed that. And then I started looking and also found one that's even cheaper than that. And I think because I've been having a lot of problems on eBay lately because I had an item that I've tried to sell, and it was the third time I put it up, and a person bid on it, and it's been just making random accounts.
I think done.
And just consistently doing, like, bidding on that same type of item on purpose. That's something I think a lot of people need to look out right now for on eBay is to be careful because there are people out there that are consistently bidding on things that are not going to ever have any intentions whatsoever to pay. And they're just a bogus account just to outbid to make sure that item does not sell.
Pretty much.
I ran into the same problem whenever I was trying to sell something a couple years ago. A guy actually placed a bid and then sent me a message saying that he wanted the toy, but did not want to pay the price that I was asking and offered me a much lower price. I'm wanting to say, I was asking 80 and he offered me like 30 for it. And I'm like, dude, you've already placed a bid and he won the auction and refused to pay.
And there are ways to block those sellers and to also get rid of their bids for those out there that are trying to sell on eBay or anything like that. My suggestion is to monitor the people that are actually bidding on your item. If they don't have any feedback, I would be very, very afraid to actually sell that item to that person because then later on they might try to pull the money back out of PayPal saying they didn't receive it or anything, which they can do that because they have been favoring the buyers lately, not the sellers.
Yep.
Here's the Weijing box for the Searchlight, the Toy World Aurora.
Yeah.
Complimentary, the Human Alliance
box. Very Human Alliance box, exquisite model, and they call him Biabian Chemo.
Bye-bye?
I don't know.
Hing, what's that translation?
What's that?
They did a lot of toys from what I can see.
And like, here's
that quick.
Sorry, can you say something, Duran?
Okay, hold on. Oh, there we go. There. Does that help any?
Oh, it says we're not only manufacturing toys, we are seeking for people's innocence. Letting them refine their innocence.
Relive their childhood, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. But, yeah, and like I say, there it is. It's the Weijiang.
Yeah. So according to what I've been finding on Chinese websites, they've done a lot of stuff, and they're even doing oversized KOs of RID at the moment.
Interestingly enough, I didn't take it out of this one, but I got one that came with my Chase. They're also including these little phone puzzle things in there. They look like a cell phone, a smartphone, but they're actually slider puzzles of the toy that comes in there. And it's kind of neat, but I don't know. But yeah. Anybody else have any other thoughts on the oversized KOs?
Hey, wasn't there an oversized Movie 3 Megatron KO? Or did that ever...
Yeah, I posted it, and it's the link to Certoys. They usually have KO stuff.
Yeah, Certoys tends to carry a lot of that stuff, but they tend to go out of stock pretty fast on a lot of that as well.
Ben's Collectibles goes through...
I did see somebody do a review of this oversized masterpiece, Lambor. I don't know if you guys have seen that yet.
A friend of mine
actually has a light up. Yeah, it actually has like a light up rifle and such.
Yeah, it sounds familiar because my friend Alfredo, I think, posted that. I just forgot what the brand name is called or whatever.
Well, company. I just put it up. It's just an oversized KO version of the masterpiece Sideswipe. Is what it is, with a rifle that actually has an LED in the barrel. I've seen a couple reviews of it, and from what I've gathered, it's actually pretty decent quality. It's actually not too bad. That's if you guys are into one of those or not, for our listeners out there. I don't know if you've heard of that one yet.
I didn't know photos for it.
It should be. I don't know why it's not loading.
Oh, here it is. It's starting to load.
Yeah, it's just taking a minute.
Oh, that's hilarious. They put down the Takara logo.
So this is oversized.
Yes, it's oversized.
For the...
It is an oversized.
Oh, for the Lambor?
For that Lambor, nothing, yes. There's nothing to show scale, huh?
The head looks derpy, though.
Mm.
Yeah,
look how narrow it is. Car mode looks okay. Do the lights light up?
Yes, they do.
Holy hell.
Wow.
Wow, that's actually almost worth getting right there.
Well, it's like I said, I mean, it also has a rifle that lights up as well. Let me see here. Oversized images. There we go. I've got one right here. Share screen. Here you go.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Is that MP10 on the far left? And
yep, that's MP10.
Wow.
Oversized.
Oh, yeah. Head and shoulders taller than MP10.
Yes.
Like a good 2 inches taller than MP10.
But like, seriously, where are you, do you guys plan on, like, coming up with all the space to, like, put all this stuff away?
Where?
I have difficulty with just regular-sized toys.
I'm just wondering in what way would you display a giant Sideswipe like that?
Beating up on Generation Sunstreaker.
Instead of giant Sunstreaker.
Now, what they need to do is make an oversized KO of... DX9 Tyrant, so I can have a giant Galvatron attacking my Daniel.
There you go.
I will buy it. I want a giant Galvatron attacking my Daniel for my Nightmare Planet display.
And then you can buy the upcoming Alan Springer to ride your Razor Claw so you can joust.
Yes.
But yeah, I saw a review of this thing a little while back, and I thought I would mention it since we were talking about, you know, knockoffs and such, and I figured that would be a very interesting one for you guys to try to hunt up and dig. I'm going to put a copy of the link to this particular auction on eBay so folks can see it. on our Facebook, so that way people can.
I'll post the link to the Sideswipe.
Okay. Excuse me. I'll let you handle that because my computer's being kind of slow right now.
And yeah.
But that oversized Optimus, I cannot seem to find it any cheaper than the actual price that Don said earlier. I think that's probably somebody just creating a bogus account, putting things up that aren't even exist. Mm. There are people that's been doing that too. So.
Well, I ran into that when I tried to first get this figure, in which he had a high feedback. He had like 3,000 and some odd overall feedback, and he was at like a 93-94%. And most everything for the past 6 months was fine. But after I bought it, over the course of 2 or 3 weeks, the tracking number never updated. He never responded to any emails. And then I start seeing a whole batch of negative reviews. He dropped from a 93, and the last time I checked, it was in the mid-60s.
Mm-hmm.
So he got
booted.
He dropped that much. So apparently, either he decided it was easier to scam people and run with it. I don't know, but I'm just saying again, like on eBay, buyer beware.
As always, caveat emptor. All right, guys, I think we've ran the course for tonight's episode. I really want to thank you guys for joining us, and we hope that it's been enjoyable and entertaining and informative enough for you. We, like I said, we threw it together at the last minute. Some guests fell through. We're working on some really, really special guests coming up, especially things that are really current. Can't really say much right now, but hoping that it'll come to fruition within the next couple weeks. And look on our Twitter account at TFYLP and our Facebook page, as well as TFTalk.net. Our own Jack Brunner over here, he's been posting a lot of news up there here recently. And him and Sergio and Pasquale Perez, keep it up. Guys, I wish you'd just post more. Come on. Check out tftalk.net and tfylp.com. They're the same website for all the latest on TFYLP and Transformers information, as well as third-party toys and stuff. Guys, do you have any closing thoughts before we close for the night?
I'm just going to say we've pretty much ragged on the movie line, and we've ragged on the movies.
But there's some great stuff there.
There are some real hidden gems in this movie line, in these movie lines. If you haven't dove into these, check with Captured Prey, check with Mega Toy Fan, or your retailer of your choice, and look for some of these hidden gems. Some of them are not that expensive. Some are, as Duran said, they're still holding their value and have gone up a little bit. But, you know, buy a couple, give it a try. If you like the movies, that's great. If you don't like the movies, that's fine, too. Just enjoy what you enjoy. Try them out. And if this show has got you to want to try a few movie toys, let us know on Facebook or Twitter what we helped you decide to pick up and how you like it. Just so we know that we are reaching out to y'all and say, hey, give this something new a try and let us know how it is.
Absolutely. And if you're wanting to try the Wei Zhong KOs, oversized KOs, these throttle bots are a good starter point. This Shine Bug, a.k.a. Gold Bug, is roughly Voyager size, small Voyager size. This was like $18 shipped from China off of eBay.
That's not bad. That's nice.
Yeah, they are extremely cheap.
Yeah. Do we know if those are going to combine or not?
I'm assuming that the wide load, which is not out yet, but it's grayed out on the back of the box. I don't know if you can see that right there, but the wide load is still grayed out on the very bottom.
Okay.
So they have not. It looks like they intend to do it, but they have not. I'm assuming that it will come with combiner parts.
Okay.
Because he was the largest one of the six. And I think the Toy World version, he came with all the parts as well.
Yes. Well, Bumblebee came with some of them too.
Yeah,
wait, they combined?
Yes.
They do combine. But my Searchlight, they actually, the seller, I think this is just a seller thing. The seller on eBay actually included a giant bazooka, which nice. Was actually kind of nice, you know. So you get all kinds of nice little freebies from some of these Chinese sellers, and I really dig that. But, guys, I think we've had an episode here, and we will see you next time on Transformers for Listening Pleasure. I am Deron Land. With me has been Headmaster Don, Jack Runner, hey. Rick Alvarez.
I think that Crystal Pepsi is making me sick, man.
Jason Walston, a.k.a. Bicycon. And Hang Up Chan. Thank you all for joining us on TFYLP. We'll see you next week on TFYLP and hashtag Dawn's Free Class Cheetor. See you guys next time.
Gotta get all that money.
Good night, everyone. Good
night, y'all.
Bye.
Please don't.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.